Never a lack of stories in the world of college football. Pac-12 championship in the rearview mirror. Utah gets the blowout victory over Oregon as they are your Pac-12 champs and are going to their first ever Rose Bowl after joining the conference just 10 years ago. Here to break it down, one of our favorites and about as good as it gets when it comes to covering college football, in particular the Pac-12. John Wilner from the Mercury News and the Pac-12 Hotline joining us. John, how are you?
Hey, John.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. So realistic expectations, Utah going to a Rose Bowl 10 years into the league. Is that, if I would have said that to you 10 years ago, would you have thought that that would have been possible?
Good question. So yes and no. I would say that I thought it would be, you know, within, it would be realistic, you know, after, you know, five or six. I mean, they were definitely going to need several recruiting cycles to develop the depth and the skill position talent that they were going to need, you know, to win on a week-to-week basis in the Pac-12, right? That's the big thing when you talk about teams jumping up in conferences is winning on a week-to-week basis. So I would have figured, yeah, probably after 5 or 6 years, they would be fully loaded and all those players would be experienced. And then it was just going to be a matter of opportunity, right? I mean, if USC had hired Pete Carroll too, then it would be a different story. But there's been opportunity in the South, and they have taken advantage of it three times now, and you know, earned their bid. That was a terrific performance the other day.
When I started looking back at it, John, it kind of blew my mind that Utah is only the second Pac-12 South team to represent through 23 years, and the other, of course, being USC. Why has there been such a lag in Pac-12 South ability to make it? I mean, I'm only 11 seasons in with Utah, but, you know, going back to 23, what's it been that's kept the South out of contention for the Rose Bowl?
Well, I mean, you know, it was, first of all, I'd say the Arizona schools are just not, you know, Arizona's never been to the Rose Bowl. ASU went in 1996, so they are not as equipped. I would say those schools haven't been as equipped as maybe some of the northern teams. Colorado and Utah just joined the league, needed to upgrade their talent. So, and then you got the north, you know, you have Oregon, which has been rolling now for a long time, and Washington and Stanford. Those three teams have basically controlled the conference other than a uptick from USC every once in a while. So, I mean, it's been a very northern-dominated conference since Pete Carroll left USC, really. I mean, Stanford and Oregon filled that void immediately, and then Washington came along once they hired Chris Peterson.
So, you we haven't had a chance to catch up with you since the Lincoln Riley news. Your thoughts on that, and does that alter the landscape of the – is he the kind of coach that can alter the landscape of and the balance of power in the Pac-12?
Oh, I think he absolutely is, especially at that school. You know, from a 40,000-foot view, it's great for the Pac-12. For an individual team in any given year, it's not good. It makes it harder to win the conference title and the division. Within the South, I think Utah is probably less impacted directly than UCLA and ASU for sure. Because Utah's got a little bit different formula. Recruiting base is a little bit different. You know, as long as Kyle Whittingham's there, I think Utah will be in position to compete, even with Lincoln Riley at SC.
Well, you got USC that needs to be powerful, and you've got Oregon that needs to be powerful and needs to be a mainstay. They now lose Cristobal. What are your expectations for an Oregon hiring?
Yeah, I mean, and Washington, too. I mean, frankly, those are the three schools that historically, you know, have done the best last 20, 30 years. And probably, mean, you can make the case for Utah, but those three, Washington, Oregon, and NC, are also, you know, the best equipped to kind of build the rosters that you need to make a playoff. So we'll see how that goes. What was the second part of the question?
I'm just curious who you think might fill in that position for Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's been a long it depends on whether stability and continuity is going to mean to them, right? They're about to hire their fourth coach in 7 years, right? And part of that is because they've been hiring coaches who have roots in Florida. And I think for anybody in the Pac-12, if they're a coach who's West, East, you're in real jeopardy of them, once a decent opportunity comes along, of them leaving. So Oregon's got to decide if they want to just chase the biggest name, use Nike money, and try to get the biggest name, even if there's a good chance that that coach is going to leave in 3 or 4 years. Or do they want to make the Kyle Whittingham play, right? Which is hire somebody who you are really confident is going to just keep that job for as long as they're successful, right? And Oregon has options in that regard. There are some good coaches that have roots either in the West Coast or to the university specifically. So it's almost a philosophical decision for them first before you start trying to drill down into the specific names.
Have you heard any, and again, you mentioned that, this is still certainly in the early process, but you got to imagine that Oregon has been preparing because it's been out in the news for the last couple of weeks. Do you think Kalani Sitake's name might be in the mix?
I mean, I could definitely see them looking into him, for sure. Absolutely. Chip Kelly, Justin Wilcox, Kalani Sitake, I think all those guys, Brian Harsin, I would imagine. Auburn is a tough, tough job because of that shadow from Tuscaloosa. So I would imagine Harsin would be interested. All those four guys for sure. The first call, if you're Oregon, your first call has to be Chris Peterson, I think. Even if there's a 1 in 10 million chance he says yes, you got to make that call, right? He was an assistant coach for Oregon for 6 years before he went to Boise. I don't think he wants to get back in, but you certainly got to make the call. And then from there, you kind of figure out where you're going to go. But I would think Stocky for sure will be on their list.
So, John, when you take a step back now and you analyze this Pac-12 season, I know that it was under attack nationally. Everybody wanted to attack it, beat it up, because there was so much cannibalism on the inside. But how good or how bad was this conference this year, in your opinion?
I think it was pretty mediocre. And part of the reason for that is that the cannibalism was from the inside, but also the outside. 1-5 against BYU. 0-2 against San Diego State. Losses to Utah State and Nevada, plus the FCS losses. Right? I mean, the conference, made its bed in the first, 3 weeks of September, essentially, with all those losses. And then when you've got those losses, and then you start playing in conference and you add losses, all of a sudden teams that could be 10-2 or 9-3, teams that could be 8-4 or 7-5, and those losses add up when you're talking about things like the rankings, right? So I think that the conference was pretty mediocre. I happen to believe that last year took a toll, the COVID season, not playing as many games, not having as many practices as a lot of other schools around the country. I think we saw that in the first couple weeks of this season. Pac-12 teams were not necessarily ready to play, didn't know the personnel, especially the quarterback position as well. And so there was kind of a lingering impact from COVID, I think.
Well, just as a guy that enjoys good football and appreciates good football, what are your thoughts on a Utah-Ohio State matchup?
Yeah, a lot of people think Ohio State is going to, not have a huge sense of urgency because, it's playoff or bust for them. But they got a lot of California kids, including their quarterback and their star receiver, and they're going to want to play well in front of their hometown, their family and friends. So I happen to think Ohio State's going to bring their A game, and it will be interesting. I mean, it's another level. It's a different level of talent and athleticism than Utah's used to seeing, even compared to Oregon, right? I know Oregon won the head-to-head, but, you know, Ohio State's a way better team now than it was then. Utah will have to take a, you know, page out of Michigan's playbook, really, and just try to pound the ball, right? Just try to pound, you know, have Wisen throw 20 times, 15, 20 times, and then just run the ball as often as they can and see if that works. If it does work, I think Utah will has a good chance to win. If Utah can't run the ball, then we're talking about big problems.
So, John, I wanted to ask you about Kyle Whittingham, where he's now got at least a share of, if not outright, four Pac-12 South Division titles, and now he's got a Pac-12 championship title. Coaching for the University of Utah, number one, do you know of any Pac-12 teams that have put an offer out there for Kyle Whittingham? And number two, if not, why wouldn't USC or Oregon or these teams that have $8 million or $9 million or $10 million to throw to coach, why wouldn't they come after a man that has built such a staple program in the Pac-12 South?
Well, I don't know for sure that there's been an actual offer made, but, you know, that's different than back channeling to Whittingham's representatives to see if an offer is made, would he be willing to accept? If the answer is no, then you don't make the offer. I thought SC, and I don't know if there was any contact with them a few years ago when they were thinking about hiring Clay Helton. You know, they had Lynn Swan on the show, so it was not a good scene. But to me, that was the window right then, 2018, 19. If they were going to make a play for Whittingham, that was the window. But I think most of it is everybody knows he's not really interested in leaving, and it's hard, you know, didn't necessarily think he would be, you know, any of those other jobs were better jobs, and you can argue that he was right, that he's got the best job for him. So I don't know for sure about actual offers, but I'm sure that over the years there have been some feelers put out.
Looking in the crystal ball a little bit, I know we're still away from playoff expansion, but obviously it would be fun to see it coming down the pipeline soon. It seems like the hang-up is whether or not P5 teams are guaranteed a spot or not. When it all shakes out, do you think those P5 schools will get that guaranteed spot in a playoff football expansion?
I was thinking yes, but the last couple of days, I'm not sure. I think it's kind of 50-50. You know, the problem is that if they want to expand before the 2026 season, then all 11 interested parties have to agree. So it can get any proposal can get blocked by one conference or by Notre Dame. And SEC has made it pretty clear that they don't think the Power Five should have automatic bids. So and the SEC has got a lot of leverage, obviously. And the SEC would be just fine if they kept it at four. Because they love it. So I don't really know the answer to that. Somebody is going to have to give ground somewhere, whether it's the SEC or the alliance conferences or the group of five. Somewhere there's going to have to be some give if they want to get it, the expansion done for the 24 or 25 seasons. They may just say, you know what, we're going to stick with this until 26. And then once they do that, they don't have to have all 11 on board. They could just, you know, do whatever they want, really. The Power Five could do whatever they want and then see who else wants to come along with them.
Hey, John, does the new Pac-12 commissioner have the autonomy to just say, the 2022 season, we will play an 8-game conference schedule? Or is there a lot that goes into making an adjustment like that?
No, he does not. I mean, that's something that would have to be approved by the schools because it's a structural issue and it involves money. But that said, the commissioner and the schools are in very, very close alignment on a lot of these football strategic issues. The issue with going from 9 to 8 for next year is who are they going to play with that extra game, right? It can't be Idaho State, right? Because ESPN and Fox right now are paying for conference games. You can't take a conference game out and put in a FCS opponent or a Sun Belt opponent and expect that ESPN and Fox are going to pay the same amount. But they will pay the same amount if that game is a Big Ten opponent. So what they are doing is they are waiting to see if the Big Ten is going to go from 9 to 8. And if the Big Ten is going from 9 to 8 next year, and then the Pac-12 will go from 9 to 8, and that extra game just gets filled across the two conferences. The Big Ten will have two other teams that they've got to worry about because there's 14 schools. But that's the issue. They can't, they're not going to drop it to a secondary competitive landscape, right? Because TVs won't pay for that.
How soon before, kind of circling back a little bit on USC, what are realistic, and I'm saying realistic expectations in USC fans in the same breath, which probably isn't the right thing to do. But what is a realistic expectation for USC to be back in a conversation of a college football playoff berth with Lincoln Riley as their head coach?
Well, I mean, if they expand in a couple of years, then as soon as they expand, right? I mean, that team should be, you know, if there's six at-large spots, SC should be in position to claim one of those. I think, like, just in terms of how soon until he's got a roster that can win the conference, you know, with the transfer portal, the turnaround time is a lot quicker, right? You don't have to wait for multiple recruiting cycles and for your offensive linemen to mature into juniors and seniors. You could just go out and get some good offensive linemen. So, you know, I don't know about next year, but I would imagine in 2023, USC probably should be, you know, contending for that conference title realistically. Maybe next year too. I don't know. But the transfer portal has accelerated the entire rebuilding process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking at a Utah State team. I just called a Mountain West Conference Championship. They go to 1-5 to a conference champion. A lot of that due to the portal. So yeah, it can turn your team around real quick.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Utah. You know, quarterback and tailback, right? I mean, that's those guys. You know, I know Rising wasn't an arrival in the past 12 months, but it's like free agency, really is, and it also is challenging for the coaches to figure out, you know, where. Which scholarships are you holding off for transfers, and how are you going to manage your recruiting of high school players based on who you think you're going to get in the portal and all that kind of thing? So it's the roster management has become much more complicated, especially at the quarterback spot.
John, I wanted to just throw a thought at you about Stanford. I'm seeing two Utah products that are leaving. The Ham Mooley kid and the Reed kid have announced that they're going to leave for a grad transfer year. And we saw Stanford finish with seven straight losses and some embarrassing ones, including one to Utah, 52-7. What's going on in Stanford? How bad is it getting? And is it out of control for David Shaw? I know I asked you already, is David Shaw in the hot seat? And you didn't feel it, he was at the time. But how come things are going so poorly at Stanford right now?
You know, they just have not recruited very well. Certainly not at the level that they did, or, you know, 6, 8, 10 years earlier, and especially at the positions that they need the most, which is the lines of scrimmage, right? Stanford is not going to ever, just because of their natural recruiting pool, you know, they're not going to be like an air raid team where they can go out and sign five great receivers. They got to play kind of Utah style, where you got tight ends and fullbacks, and you run the ball, and you play physical at the line of scrimmage. You know, Rick Neuheisel called it football in a phone booth one time. And they don't have the personnel to do that anymore. They've become kind of like everybody else. And I think that that's hurting them because they can't compete being like everybody else. They need to be different. We'll see if Shaw can get it back. I mean, he's not on the hot seat, but, you know, it's certainly not, you know, this was the worst season they've had since before Jim Harbaugh got there.
Well, John, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Never a dull moment, and John Wilner is always on top of it. The Oregon Ducks need to find a new head coach. Could Chip Kelly make a return to Eugene?
And when everybody else is just out there throwing coaches into the freeway, you've got Stanford that's like, what's that? No, we didn't see seven.
Seven straight losses? Nah, we're fine.
And it was embarrassing.
We've got our water polo team winning championships. We're fine.
Did you guys see where the odds are on Kalani?
Yeah, I'm just looking at this, Lloyd. I was going to bring this up.
Yeah, yeah.
So your Vegas odds have Chip Kelly as the favorite to be the next head coach at Oregon. Guess who is next? Kalani Sitake.
What's the odds?
Chip Kelly's plus 150. Kalani Sitake's plus 400. Justin Wilcox plus 500. Brian Harsin plus 700. And it goes down from there.
Well, I've got to imagine that Tom Homo is busy. I've got to imagine that he's already
pay that man his money.
Made some strides, would be my hope, is that Tom Homo saw the big neon sign on top of Kalani's house and thought, I better get in there and make sure that he feels very comfortable. And here's $10 million a year.
Talk to your biggest donors. Go call Ryan Smith. Go call Lemma Harrington. And
got two of the biggest donors on this show right now.
Ty Mattingly and Lemma Harrington. And Lee Johnson. That's the three.
There's some big names. Mine is not one of them. But there are some big names out there. We all know this. That are part of the alumni / blue booster group with Brigham Young University that are very capable and I would think willing to support an increase in salary and pay for Kalani Sitake.
And you know Kalani, Alema. And if they came to Kalani and they're like, okay, we're going to keep you where you're at.
Yeah.
But we're going to boost your assistant pool to $8 million. Mm-hmm. From whatever it is now.
Yeah.
You know, what's a mid-level Mount West conference about? $2.5 million pool?
Pool?
$3 million maybe?
Maybe a little lower than that.
Somewhere there. Yeah. We're going to boost your pool and we're going to take care of your kids.
By the way, Tom Homo.
Yeah.
10-year contract.
He would do that. And you're talking, I think the point being that he's not worried so much about himself. Kalani is
right
as much as he wants to take care of his guys.
Well, absolutely. And let's be honest here. I mean, yes, Kalani's one of the best dudes on the planet, and he wants to take care of him. But he also realizes if you're going to be successful, you got to pay
high level assistance. He needs fair market.
I got to go out there, and I mean, it's one thing for me to make $10 million a year, but if I can only pay my offensive coordinator $300,000, we're going to lose a lot of games. Mm-hmm. He did go on with our guys over at BYU Sports Nation, Tom Homo, and said, "Quote." We are in conversations with Kalani at this point and time. He is our coach. We want him here for a long time, and we know good things are going to happen in our future.
Yeah,
so after signing an extension, three or four months ago, so they're already back to the table.
2025. This is great, right? This is the catch-22.
This
you
is how college this, football works.
And then it becomes a burden, sometimes even a nightmare. That you want your coach in the conversation for every job that comes up because he's that good. But you also want to have a guy that you're not worried like, man, this guy is going to duck out on us and no matter what the agreement is. Mm-hmm. And Kalani's not that type of person. So you have a good, solid guy as your head coach. And so right now I think it's just pure flattery that you have got everybody talking about your guy.
So this is just my guess. If we see anything announced by BYU in regards to a contract extension for Kalani Sitake, I would expect it to be 8 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
The monetary value won't be released because it's a private university. Yeah. But typically we get a year announcement, correct? I think if something...
Somebody will dig and leak that. I mean, that information will be available.
If something is done, I would expect it to be 8 years plus. I would expect the coaching pool to be boosted, and I would expect that all the kids, everything you can, and I think they've done a pretty good job of maxing out name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm.
As good as anybody.
But I know that on the back end of things where the university can take care of the players...
Mm-hmm.
They need to go to Kalani and say, we are going to take care of our players more than any Power 5 team, more than any Group 5 team. We are going to, every meal that we are have the opportunity to feed them, every dollar we have the opportunity to pay them, every chance we get to take care of them, we'll do that. Yeah. And I think if you do that, then you might be able to see something put together for the between the two.
I'm confident that something will be put
together.
Yeah,
because you know Kalani. Right? We know Kalani.
Yeah. And you don't want them to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you feel confident that something will get
Kalani
done.
Needs to be a BYU.
Darn yeah. right he does.
I mean, just, I mean let's call it as it is.
I don't want to see him at Oregon. I saw him at Oregon State. And that wasn't
it felt weird then.
Yeah, no, Oregon would feel weird to see him in the green and yellow. And by the way, the state of Utah don't want Kalani in Oregon. Recruiting kids out of here.
No, you don't.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, the reason why you're getting some, like, let's say a Kingsley Suamataia coming back from Oregon to BYU is because Kalani's here.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, so I would like to get an announcement on that. If there is, I'll bet it will be an 8-year plus.
Yeah.
Which it needs to be. How long did they extend Pope? And Pope won like 5 games. And they're like, boom, 100 years. 100 years. He's an excitable fella, and he recruits well, brings the energy. 100 years. Kalani, 2.
Hey, this is all you, man. You
gotta, yeah, but what
is
that?
You got to deal with this.
I'm with you. I'm
is
with
it a
you.
Basketball university or a football university?
I'm with you at BYU. You and I are both on, you know, we are preaching to the choir, or you and I are preaching to each other. Pay the man. Pay Kalani, and not just pay him, but I'm with you. Make it an extension that is, you know, formidable.
That stops what you just mentioned. Because you do want your coaching conversations.
Yeah.
But when your coach is in the conversation, that means you as a university are not taking care of your coach.
Yeah, it's like the word out there on the street is BYU's not paying their guy. I'll bet you we could get him to leave. Right? You don't want that to be the conversation.
No.
Right.
Not with Kalani, especially.
Well,
we could set him up with a tri-day trading.
I think that's what needs to be included.
Right. We could do
BYU,
that.
Here's $10 to BYU. Get him in.
Oh, it costs $10 for a 30-day trial.
You know, you could even coach a major college football team and do 30 days worth of training.
Of training. And then, if you decide this is for me, then you might have to wake up a little bit earlier than you typically do. But, you know, trading, a lot of the trading will happen in the morning before you get going anyway, and it's something you can do, which is one of the things that I love talking to people about, because they're like, well, I got a full-time job. But you can do this while you're working your full-time job, right? You can wake up in the morning, and especially if you're not commuting maybe to work anymore, get up, take that commute time that you would normally have being on the road, and you spend that time on your laptop. The great thing, one of the great things about day trading is the ability to work from anywhere. If you got a Wi-Fi signal, you can do this. And so you get to set your own time, how long you're going to do it. And sometimes it's going to be flexible. You can make, $500 to $2,000 in 15 minutes and boom, I'm done for the day. You know, and some might be done for the week, but others might want to continue to do more trading during the week. So so many of these things are things that you get to decide as your own boss, right? And so when I was looking at different things, whether it was supplementing or replacing income, it was going to be about how can I take more control over my financial future, especially when you got, always the concerns of, the virus, the lockdowns, the mandates, all of these things. Let me be my own employer and take care of it myself.
From
right?
my own home if I need to.
Yeah.
Or wherever I want. But I love that dilemma because I know that you've taught me this years ago when I was in professional football. The more you can do.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can do.
Yeah.
Learn it.
Diversify.
Figure it out.
Diversify.
And this is one of those things. When you know how to do it and you're part of the Tri-Day Trading team, you jump in, you get furloughed, you get fired, you need more money. Day trade, you can make money.
I love what you said, being a part of the tri-day trading team, because it is a team. And that's again, one of the many things that I love about tri-day trading is that I feel like I'm a part of the team. I have my own coach, right? I get to come in and I can come to the campus, which we where we are right now, and I can hang out. I can talk to Ryan Van Dorn. I can talk to Jared Johnson, my coach, and I can find out, like, is there anything that I need to do? And sometimes you need a little refresher course. Maybe you get a little off the beam a little bit, and it's like, man, I feel like I lost my mojo a little bit. I call up Jared. I said, let me come in for a session. Let's go over some of the basics and get back to the principles that got us to where we were successfully training. Yeah,
and they're happy to do that.
Yep.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans and Scotty right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Nick Ford,
University of Utah offensive lineman.
The way I look at it going forward with the Rose Bowl is from the youth perspective, I wanted Ohio State because they are the highest ranked team that you could possibly play in that game. So at this point, why not compete with the best to prove once and for all that you guys really are one of the best? How do you look at it?
Same way. I mean, but we got to prepare the same exact way that we've been preparing. They're a good program for sure. They got a lot of reputation. They got a lot of good athletes over there. So the same thing like Oregon. We got to go out there, have the same mindset that we've been having for the entire season. Work hard, don't work too much to where you get burnt out, and don't work too little to where you become lazy and complacent, and then just go from there and play the game like it's meant to be played.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Seven 5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day as we are out and about today here at Tri-Day Trading. Again, all you have to do is go to tridaytrading.com. It's really simple. Put your $10 in for the actually just watch a free webinar and you'll get a good idea if it's right for you. Then for $10, they'll give you 30 days just to try it out. Give you a fake account and or a dummy account where you can they'll throw a bunch of fake money in there and you see if you can figure it out, and if you can, then we'll move on to the next round
in lifetime.
Hey, who just deleted this one of the stories off the wheel?
I did.
You're the anonymous hippo.
Oh, it's you.
It wasn't a hippo, it was an alligator.
No, it says anonymous hippo.
Well, at first it was a anonymous like gorilla, wasn't it?
No, grizzly.
Grizzly.
Okay, I'm putting a new headline on the wheel.
Let me add it to the... You don't understand how difficult it is to hurry up and add this to the wheel. Give me a sec.
I know, but you've got your punch pad. Just punch it out and put it... Can you see that?
Yeah, that says anonymous hippo.
Does it, Scotty? It doesn't. You're such a jerk.
No, I'm being serious.
I'm not the anonymous hippo.
You are the anonymous hippo.
The hippopotamus?
No.
Do you know the story of the hippopotamus?
Cannot change his spots. No matter how much he tries.
Rubin?
You down for scuba?
Oh, my God.
I didn't want that headline on there anymore. It was last week's news. We just didn't get a talk about the 74 or whatever point win that Memphis had over Oklahoma City.
All right.
Well, now we only have 12 stories, so let me remove that one.
Well, yeah, but I'm putting on a soccer headline, so.
Yeah, good luck with that hit.
Jeez.
Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. Right now, an opportunity for you to get $1,400 off LASIK. That's right, $1,400 off. Call 801-253-3080 or go to davisvisionmd.com. All right, Lloyd, let's see where that little white ball lands.
Lloyd and Scott were right. Hans was wrong.
Well, that's a nice, humble headline, Lloyd.
That's a good ring to it.
There's some real humility in it.
It flowed.
All right. So, guys, gentlemen, buddies, we made a bet going back to November 16th, okay?
Yep.
On November 16th, we made a bet through – it was a nice home run all the way till December 3rd.
Yes.
Which just finished up a couple nights ago. And we set the Jazz three-point percentage at 35.5%. Remember, they were like 32.6% when we set this line. And we set it at 35.5% as a team through that those games, November 16th through December 3rd. Scotty, those games are now complete. You and Lloyd took the over. I took the under. I thought they'd be right at 35%. They've checked in at a gaudy 43.2% as a team through those games. I'll go through them. 52.9% against Boston, 41.3% against Portland, 57.1% in the second game against New Orleans, 31.9% against Oklahoma City. That was their lowest of the entire run. 43.6% against the Kings, 41.3% against the Raptors, 42.1% against the Sixers, 39.5% in a loss to Memphis,
yep,
and 39.4% in a loss to New Orleans. Those were the only two losses in that stretch, coming out to a grand total of 43.2%, boosting the team now all the way up to number six in the league at 36.9%. They are now shooting a team-wide 36.9% from three and climbing. As we all figured it would. I just didn't think it would be an eight-game sample size.
An eight-game stretch, yeah. I should have set the line a little higher. Who knew if I would have set it at 42, it'd still hit the over.
You'd have hit the over.
Yeah.
42% through those games, buddy.
Yeah, that's
nuts. They shoot like that. And you know, and I know that Rudy Gay has his faults, but Rudy Gay brings such a uniqueness to this team.
Mm-hmm.
I love the attributes that he brings to this game and to this team. So, and it's been kind of nice getting to know him better on the court.
Yeah, agreed.
Instead of just catching him twice in a season or three times in a season. He is spectacular and, by all accounts, a phenomenal teammate.
All right, should we sneak in one more, Lloyd, or do we got to shut it down? All right, one more.
Western Conference Player of the Week.
Congratulations, Donovan Mitchell, over a three-game stretch where he has been on fire. Donovan Mitchell is your Player of the Week of the Western Conference.
Oh, he's been so good. He was so good against Cleveland. What did he have, 15 points or 16 points in the first quarter? Hitting from everywhere. Cleveland put the press on, man. That was a good game right down to the bitter end. But Donovan Mitchell, you know, there's a lot of great things to Donovan's game. My absolute favorite thing that needs to continue to develop, but I think he's got it in spades, clutch minute performances. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Hard to find in an athlete.
Nope. I don't think you coach that. I think that's part of your DNA born with.
It's part of the DNA. And he's got it. And it's deep in his blood. And I hope it continues to develop. But anytime there's press, he wants it. Win or lose. If I need to lose this and take the blame, I'm going to do it. If I need to win this and hit a couple shots, I'm going to try to do it. And I love that aspect of his game. And he took 1-3 in the first quarter of that game against Cleveland. That was probably 10 feet behind the three. Maybe a step and a half past the half court. And knocked it down with ease. His game is improving, and I can't wait to see how far he can take this team this year.
All right, we're going to wrap things up next. Get you ready for Unrivaled. It's all straight ahead. You're listening to Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Have you found, Joe, as you've traveled now, that you've had people come up to you and have these misconceptions about playing in Salt Lake City and maybe Utah in general, and you got to set them straight?
Oh, absolutely. Even on the court, guys are like, how do you live here? Or like little comments. And I think anyone that actually gets here and spends time here, you would learn how cool a place it is. I know for me and Renee and the kids, we absolutely love it. No, I think any player that actually got here would realize how much they would like it when they actually got here and spent some time here.
Oh, yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans and Scotty, Unrivaled, coming up next. Scott Mitchell with a breakdown of what he saw calling that championship game. But, yeah, this is it's a fun day to talk football, that's for sure.
One more thing I need to mention about that Utah State game that has not gotten enough praise was Logan Bonner's speed and athleticism on the 3rd and 10 scramble to get the first down, which resulted in the next play, a touchdown throw to Derek Wright. But you were at 3rd and 10.
Yep.
And who's the right offensive tackle for Utah State?
Alfred Edwards.
Okay, so Edwards takes a huge jab step outside. Defensive end tries to come underneath. It was a slant right defense. And Edwards takes this defensive end and just runs him down all the way inside. And Logan started to roll out to his left and then kind of rolls back around and runs this big, looping, wide run down the right side of the field and goes and gets the first on a 3rd and 10 that was huge. And he looked like he could go get that first in that moment. And he wanted it. It was a big moment.
It was like, a big moment.
It's funny. I've got a couple of sheets of notes here, and I've got big moments.
You're saying it was like one of the, that horse race, the fastest 2 minutes in sports?
It was the fastest 2 minutes. Every time we'd go into film review, and if Peyton Manning left the pocket, every time we'd sit there, the whole team would laugh. And Peyton knew it. Like, he knew it. But here's the thing. Peyton knew when he could go get the first.
Yeah.
He didn't always keep on a give-keep opportunity, but it was always an opportunity. It was always in the playbook. He could keep it. And when he did, he never failed with it. And when Logan saw that opening, he didn't fail it. He went out there and he got it.
He actually has made a few of those plays this year. It's not completely uncommon. And we make fun, but no, he's got more athleticism than.
And his team is going to go make fun of him, and they'll laugh and have a good time because that's not his area. But the truth is, when you needed it, he went and got it. The opportunity presented itself, and he went and got it.
Yep.
And then threw a strike to Derek Wright on the next play.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Ryan's hanging out with us one more time here at Tri-Day Trading. We can't thank you enough for letting us hang out here. We love it.
Hey, we love having you guys in. I'm glad we've been able to do this for years now, and hopefully that tells people that we care about your listeners, right? We want to treat everybody the right way.
And you're around for a while. This isn't some fly-by-night thing. You've been established here in the market for a long time.
Yeah, a really long time. We have a physical location. If everybody's been listening on the radio and just wants to come see us in person, that's absolutely possible. But also, if you just want to check us out from home, that's easy too.
Do you still do a lot of your coaching down here?
It just depends. If somebody is really interested in that, then yes. But now that we have coaches in different states and all over, normally online's most convenient for everybody, but it's definitely an option.
I did all mine online, did them through Zoom meetings, and it always worked really well for me. I did come in a couple of times for some early meetings and went through some webinars with your professionals. We don't talk about that enough. Just an opportunity. When you are out there and you are actively trading, you can flip it on in a given week a couple of times, and you can just trade right along with the professionals.
At least, yeah. There's a multiple time scheduled where you can hop on, watch somebody else trade. You know, we're big on people in the community becoming friends with each other, doing some things together. There's so many opportunities. It's just the perfect time of year. The $10 gets you the 30-day trial, and that $10 is going to Sub for Santa right now.
It's really and that's great, and that's a great charity to go for. So $10, and it's going to charity. So essentially, for all intents and purposes, it really costs you nothing because you should be giving $10 to charity anyway.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, but it gives you a chance to learn about something new and find out if this is a skill set that can, you know, maybe help pay for next Christmas.
There you go. Because, you know, and one thing, when I sat down with my coach for the first time, he's like, what would you like to do? And I'm like, you know what? I'll just, you know, a car payment, you know, or your mortgage mm-hmm. payment. You know, they'll set some goals and like, okay, well, let's get you there. So you can replace your mortgage payment or your car payment or save money for a vacation for your family. Or if you want to shoot big, then replace your income. All of those are possible.
Yeah, a lot of possibilities, right? You just got to get started. You just got to do your part, find out if this is what you want to do, and never take our word for it. We want to provide a roadmap where you can see yourself doing it and give you the support you need to get it done.
Go to trydaytrading.com. It all begins with that webinar and then the 30 days of training for just $10. It's all at trydaytrading.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, Unrivaled, coming up next.